There's this song that's been running through my head this week. And the words of this song have been frustrating me, especially on this day when our altar is bare, the tabernacle is empty, the presence candle extinguished. And we recall the reality of God taken from our midst in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The song ends with this. You may have it somewhere stored up in your heart, too. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. These words seem false on Good Friday. A God ever-present and never-changing? On that day, it simply wasn't true. On that day, in other Gospels, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. The ground shook. And it was not as it was in the beginning. And it was not how it should be. God, love incarnated in human flesh, was annihilated. And the sky grew dark. And everything changed in the blink of an eye. So many things, it seems, can change in the blink of an eye. And as it was in the beginning, simply is not how it is today. Watching as two centuries of love and labor burn to the ground in the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral earlier this week. Facing the realities of industrialization, population growth, emissions, pesticides, genetic engineering, computer technology, and all of the other rapid changes of the past decades of our lives. They've changed the world as we know it. Looking at our lives and how they've changed when someone we love is someone we see no longer. Now does not feel like it was in the beginning. Rather, it can feel like our world is coming to an end as we know it. It was on that night Jesus had been with his friends, washing feet, sharing intimately his love for them. His assurance was to not let their hearts be troubled or to be afraid. Do not be afraid in the midst of all the changes you will encounter. And there's this thing that happens in the garden after that Last Supper. As the world seems to be ending, Jesus goes out with his disciples to a garden. And it's clear that everything's being turned upside down when one of them, one of those disciples, one of those friends of Jesus arrives with the detachment of soldiers and police. Judas leads the group, and they show up with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now, to this point, Jesus had been teaching everyone about who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine, and you are the branches. When Jesus says, I am these things, ego in Greek, there's a direct connection to the third chapter in Exodus where God reveals his name to Moses. In Hebrew, that name's usually rendered Yehovah, or commonly rendered in English as Yahweh, with the vowels corresponding to the Hebrew word for the Lord, Adonai. Adonai is what Jews often spoke in its place because speaking the actual word Yehovah or Yahweh was and is considered taboo to them. It's too holy, too precious. It's in this garden with torches and weapons and a mob surrounding him. It's in this garden that then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus' reply is, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with him when Jesus said to them, "I am he." This is how Jesus responds. In the face of certain death, in the face of everything never being the same again, I am. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. The words spoken aloud not once, but three times. Again, he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. You may lead me to the cross. You may take away my life, but I am." When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. These were words that had the power to knock over a mob with weapons and torches, to stun them to the ground. They are words that disarm with the power of God's glory. And in the face of fire and wind and flooding waters of destruction, in the face of our rage and our anger and our fear and our depression, in the face of heart attacks, strokes, muscles that pull out of place and diagnoses that either temporarily or forever change the way we live, even in the face of death itself, this is the one who was willing to endure all things, to suffer and to thirst and to be alienated from his very self. God experiencing the absence of God. And it's to the ones who betrayed him, to the bloodthirsty ones who meet him with weapons and rage, it's to them that he reveals God, the great I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the chaos of creation, in the wandering of our spirits, in the abyss of what can seem like a certain ending, we cry out that it is Jesus of Nazareth that we are looking for. And he replies, I am. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.